Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing.
It's 7 o'clock and I declare the meeting open. We always begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I also note that the audio of this General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. I now ask whether any elected members make a declaration of interest of any in respect of any item on the agenda. If not, I note there's no Youth Advisory Committee update. Confirmation of the minutes. Do I have someone to move that the minutes of the 24th November meeting be confirmed? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. All those in favour, all those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. We now move to a deputation. And I understand that Sandra Fisher, who was to speak in relation to the Peppertree Grove Reserve, has sought to have a substitute. Happily enough, Mr. Marty Fisher come and address us. So please come forward. We'll make a space for you at the front. And while you're coming up, I can let you know that probably with leave of... Well, I know that there's... With leave of the members, we might try and move the relevant motion next to the deputation, which is a custom, but that'll be up to the members. So, to begin with, Mr. Fisher, we do have a copy of your presentation. You have 5 minutes, but that's including time for questions if you can finish a little earlier. So, over to you, and just indicate when you want the next slide presented, etc. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mark Place. Footpath out to units. This is the folks that this is a view from Jacare. Here is property that belongs to the county. Presentation is the Japan is very... Picture you'll see there.
There being no questions, thank you, Mr. Fisher. And what I'll, you may return to the gallery, and what I'll do now is ask leave of the meeting to move the motion concerning irrigation to be moved by Councillor Pryor to this part of the meeting. Does anyone object to that? Well, then I have leave of the meeting to do that. And I'd invite Councillor Pryor to move. I know there's been some discussion during the day about appropriate wording, so if you could just direct staff, Councillor Pryor, to make sure you've got the wording you're happy with on the screen.
Not quite yet. I think we just... I've sent Mr. Waits an alternative motion. And while she's writing it up, I might as well start the...
Sorry, probably is important that I get a seconder to the motion. Perhaps you can read it out and we'll go from there.
That the council turn on all irrigation to all reserves with functioning irrigation systems, and that the systems remain on until a review into the irrigation policy is completed in early 2016. Firstly, thank you to my group of residents here who have come out in a show of support for this, I guess. I really wanted to encourage these guys to do this because of the intimacy of this reserve with these properties. I mean, it's literally on their front fences. There's no road there. It's a very unique reserve. When we started looking down this path, it actually turns out there's a lot of a lot of different reserves in our council that the councillors have had complaints or requests about to turn the irrigation back on. There was a bit of a lack of consultation as to which reserves were turned off or why they were turned off. So we've actually come up with a motion as a group to really turn all the irrigation back on to all the working systems and start there. I think as a part of our council, I guess our community guidelines for our council, we like to encourage people to get back to nature. This is it's a little bit difficult if nature's dead. It's kind of not where we really want to go with that. So I think this is a really core service that we should be offering. And in particular around Oaklands Park, everybody knows the level of infill. Everybody knows what's happening with properties. The yards are decreasing. The build sizes are increasing. These reserves are an asset that we have, and we should be looking after them. We should be maintaining them in a manner which befits the reserves. In reference to the light, I'm sure we can look at the light a little bit later on, depending on how this goes. And the last point that I want to make about this area is that the Oaklands wetland is just up the road. We've built that as at least a helping hand for our water reserves, and it really is a shame that we can't water the local reserves with water from the Oaklands wetlands. So I think that may be on the cards, depending on how expensive that is for some time next year. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Worship. I would like to say a few things. Councillor Pryor's touched on a few of them, and I'll just expand on that. In an email today, I think I saw from Councillor Westwood, he talked about the rhetoric this council puts out there in our community plan. One of the pillars of that is biophilic city. And I, as you know, members, I've had some concern that we don't fully understand what we mean by that. But this is a case in question, that if we don't water these reserves, our whole pillar of our community plan is going to have a wobbly leg, because we don't have the biophilic approach that we really aspire to. We don't have the water on the reserves to do it. Now, there's more than one reserve here. I think we need to take that on board. We're not, with this motion, we're not just talking about Pepper Tree. We're picking up all the other quite legitimate concerns that have been raised by various councils around the chamber. We need time out. We need to have an opportunity to provide some immediate respite for these reserves to water them during this emerging drought, and I fear that's where we're at, to allow council, this new council, to actually have the benefit of the reports we currently have, to realise that there may have been some flaws in the policy that the council adopted in the previous council term. Sometimes you don't know these things until you actually try it on. And the other thing that we need to do as part of that report is thinking about the money. There's a cost to this. It's palpable. We know that. But it is a service, and we've cut back a service without even notifying the community, which I think is an issue in itself. We heard today about returning reserves back to bushland. What was it? Bushland settings. Well, there's no budget to do that either. So we really need to understand what we're doing. We need to have the money to actually look at the appropriate money to water the reserves, but also in terms of the distribution of our water. We are in a great position with the Oaklands wetland. But believe it or not, until we actually have that distribution network up to a much greater standard, the cost of the water that we're currently distributing is going to be a lot higher until we get the volume, until we get the number of reserves up to speed, so we're getting we reduce our water costs per litre as we actually expand the network. Unfortunately, to get this reserve connected up, it's about $120,000. But in closing, I would like to also ask the administration to look at rationalising our reserves. we have got reserves nearby, and we took the CEO down there, that are not useful reserves. There's playgrounds on a not useful piece of dirt. Just to close, Mr. Mayor, in Peppertree, the only amenity they have is a light pole that doesn't work. There's no playground, there's not even a park bench, Mr. Mayor, and I think that's another issue.
Is there anyone opposing the motion? A question, Councillor Blescu?
Look, a couple of questions. First of all, how much is this costing? Because we got some costings earlier about, I think, five that people identified, including Peppertree. What's going to be the cost involved for all of them, and for how long as well?
Councillor Blescu, just before I turn to staff, I note that during the day councillors have been seeking some substantial information from staff. In particular, we wanted to see which reserves would be irrigated if an extra $100,000, for example, was allocated to the annual budget for watering. We weren't able to get that, but we hope that'll be in the report that'll come back later. We did receive figures for annual watering and maintenance figures for four reserves. So that's what Councillor Blescu is referring to. I just question how valuable that information is. It added up to about $35,000, but they were the annual figures and they included maintenance as well. So as I understand it, the motion is talking about water. Essentially, it's water only, unless something breaks down between now and February. So I just wanted to put that in context, but I'm happy to take advice from staff. Who would, Mr. Mifflin?
Through the Chair, yes, the Mayor's quite right. The specific details we'll be able to provide to Council when the report comes back in early 2016. The four reserves that were referred to and communicated to members today did amount to approximately $35,000. The maintenance costs, probably we could have chosen better wordings, to be fair, probably talking about operational costs. So the fact is, if we start watering those reserves, subject to council approval, obviously we're going to have to mow them, et cetera, so those costs actually refer more to maintaining the reserves. We're not talking about the irrigation systems themselves. But in the short term, we would certainly be able to cover the funding if council wishes to endorse this motion within the existing budget.
Councillor Lesky?
But what's the thing? What's the funding? How many reserves are we looking at here?
If the motion, as moved, is passed, what are the implications, I think Councillor Valesky is asking. And we've got Mr. Ricketts coming forward to provide some more detailed information. Thank you. While Mr. Ricketts is coming forward, can I just ask Mr. Skull, our Chief Executive, to take on board the issue about the security light? I mean, I don't know any of the details, but that can be tracked through the staff to have a look at. Mr. Ricketts, please.
The cost we provide is...
Mr. Ricketts, can I just draw your attention to the question, which was what are the cost implications of this motion before us now being passed? So it's different to the question which addressed four particular reserves.
Off the top of my head, it's quite difficult to answer that. I'd have to put that through the tool. But I believe the water cost to irrigate all the reserves that are capable of being irrigated is about $1 million. That's based on what we irrigated back in 2004, 2005, which is around 140 reserves, a lot of them quite small reserves. I have to qualify that statement in that we'd have to go back and actually physically test the integrity of irrigation systems that have been off for a few years. So they may need some additional maintenance to get them functional. So water costs about $1 million, then plus operating costs, which I suspect are substantial.
Well, again, if I could just draw your attention to the question, we're talking about an assumption that we're dealing with currently functional irrigation systems. We're not talking about whole of year costs. We're talking about cost, the marginal additional cost between now, say, for the next 2 months, on reserves which have essentially been turned off, even though they have functional irrigation systems. Mr. Ricketts, anything to add?
Yes, Mayor, sorry. To answer that question, we'd have to go and audit those additional sites that were on in 2004-05. I suspect most of them are still functional. Whether they're efficient as far as an irrigation standard needs to be determined. But I suspect we could turn on, from our experience to date, at least 20 reserves.
All right. But you don't want to... well, I'll ask Mr. Mifsud if he's willing to hazard a guess as to the cost implications.
Through the Chair, this is just a very rough ballpark calculation for members to give you some level of context, but if we were to turn on all reserves, and I don't know off the top of my head as to which ones are where the irrigation systems are functioning, let's assume they're all functioning despite the fact that there will be some that are not, to bring it back up to the water standards, sorry, the irrigation levels we previously had, for about a three-month period, you're looking at probably somewhere between $100,000 to $110,000, and that's a very, very rough back-of-the-bag calculation, but it gives you some level of context.
But and just to clarify, that three-month period, from that we would deduct the reserves which are going to be irrigated anyway, even if we don't pass this motion. Is that right?
No, the way I've done the calculation is to basically look at the current money that we're spending on irrigating reserves and compared that to the irrigation levels going back quite some time, which would therefore pick up the reserves that are not currently being irrigated.
Oh, thank you. So that's a marginal figure, in a sense. All right, back to Councillor
Velasco. Yes, Your Worship, if someone were to move a procedural motion that we suspend standing orders to discuss this a little further, is that something that you'd allow?
That can always be moved. It's up to the group.
That could they then move an amended motion, or is that different?
The fact that... that's an interesting question. I suppose at the conclusion of a suspension of standing orders, I could give the call back to the person who suspended it in case there was an amendment arising out of the discussion.
I'd like to move suspension of standing orders because I think there's a lot of complexities and I think we should navigate a solution that suits the community, but we need to do it carefully. And I'd like to have that discussion. And I think it has been brought to us at the last
procedural motion, so I'll simply ask if there's a seconder. Councillor Westwood, all those in favour? All those against? That's carried by majority. So just for the benefit of the gallery, all this means is that we can have a more of a freestyle discussion without being constrained by motions, amendments, speaking for and against, because clearly there's some complexity to the issue. What councillors discovered just in the last week or so is that there are various reserves throughout the city which are affected, not just Peppertree Grove, And the prevailing view among councillors on an informal basis was that we should take action across the whole of the city rather than pick out individual reserves to fix this one, that one, then some other resident group will come back to the next meeting and the one after that and we fix that one. That is a really poor way to do business. Mr. Ricketts referred to putting something through the tool. Now, what he meant by that is that there is a very sophisticated irrigation formula. As a result of reducing the budget over a period of time, and before this current council came along, I might add, with the same formula, obviously, less reserves were watered. And we're now seeing the effects of that with, for example, irrigation being turned off at Peppertree Grove. So that's the context. And we've been trying to work out, or get the information, first of all, to work out how we can raise the general level of watering, which would get Peppertree Grove fixed up, and equitably, other reserves around the city as well. I hope that's a fair summary. Now, having said that, I'll just invite staff first to see if there's anything they want to add to the discussion which might illuminate.
I just, through the chair, would certainly concur with the mayor's summary there. In terms of moving forward in regards to the decision that you choose to make, the best way forward is to do it on an equitable basis, which would not just account for specific reserves, but you do it right across the city of Marion. And then early in 2016, with further details, you can make an informed and appropriate decision about what you feel is the best way forward. So I certainly concur with the mayor's comments.
Okay. Comments, questions, anyone? Councillor Blescu.
Sorry. I think, like, the concerns I have when Mr. Ricketts spoke in regards to things that haven't been turned on, is it fair and equitable for us to, the ones that were turned off recently, to turn those back on? Is that the intent? Or are we looking to turn ones that haven't been on for a while that may require an audit, that may require a prolonged process? And I guess also it's not just the time, it's I'm sure people on that team have other things they may need to do as well. So I'm just wondering, can we just turn on the ones that have been turned off, assuming that was an equitable spread? Or are we going to look at doing all the others and having to check ones that haven't been on for a while?
Perhaps I could go to Councillor Pryor about the intention of the motion.
That's a very good question. The intention of the motion is really to catch, I would say, the recently cut off reserves.
Okay. Any staff comment on the how to equitably fix this and other reserves where there are aggrieved residents? Mr. Nipsud?
Through the chair, the important thing here is we do, as the mayor's already stated, we have a very complex watering irrigation tool that we currently use, and yes, it needs to be reviewed in terms of the standard you want to move forward with. In order to determine which reserves get turned on, the only way we can do that without breaching the integrity of that tool is to move up service standards in increments. So if you move up in increments, that's not necessarily going to specifically pick a reserve. It'll just move up different service standards, which means you'll get a group of reserves regardless of which ones they are. So these ones here are the concern that have currently been raised by various parts of the community, and that's what the focus of your current discussions are about. But if we move up the service standard, that may not capture those reserves. So if you're going to ensure we maintain integrity in terms of how you work through your decision-making process here, I think the best solution as an interim measure is what's been put up, and that is you turn them all back on if that's what you want to support. That gives time for the information, the detailed information that you need to come back to you, where you can make an informed decision, because you're not going to be able to pick and choose certain reserves, because effectively you might as well throw the irrigation tool out the window if you're going to do that.
Mr. Skull wanted to add something?
Through the chair, I've just been informed if we just turn on the reserves that were shut off this year, according to how they come out on the matrix, there would be six reserves that would be returned to being watered.
Well, I had some comments over here, and then I'll come back to Councillor Hull. Councillor Gard.
Yes, I certainly am in general support of the motion. However, I am also concerned about what we call irrigation policy, because if, Your Worship, irrigation policy is considered whether we water or not, I feel we need to do more in the motion. And to qualify that, I mean that it's not an all or nothing, black or white situation. If we can do more to make the reserves and all areas, in fact, that we water more drought resistant by various tactics that we've discussed before, I think we should be doing that, and I think it should be implied in the motion, so that we don't get a disconnection from our focus in that regard through this motion. I think it's easy to do that.
As usual, you have your eye to the long term and to a strategic solution, but the motion is addressing what do we do in the next 2 months, and that's been brought on by the crisis of literally turning the taps off. in a few reserves.
I understand so, that, Your Worship. It's just that I do. I would like some sort of rider in there that we will be looking to the long term as part and parcel of this motion. I think.
Well,
worthy
of
comment.
I would hope that would be part of the report that's much more comprehensive that comes back in a month or two. But it's up to you. We're not in a formal procedure at the moment, but when we come back to it, you can move an amendment if you wish. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo that. I think the review needs to be very strategic. There are a lot of people who have asked and would like irrigated reserves near their houses that haven't got irrigation, so the review is going to have to be fairly wide-reaching, because if we're going to be equitable, then there's no reason why those residents shouldn't have grass growing all year round in front of their houses. So I think when we do the review, people have actually got to have the equity factor and the cost factor in mind. The only reason I'm supporting this is because if we don't make a decision like this tonight, then the reserve will be dead anyway and the argument will be lost. So I don't think that's a fair process. I think you've got to keep the water on while you have those discussions, and then during the review we can actually look at how many reserves we might even want to increase the number of reserves we irrigate and give everyone a fair crack. But I'm very mindful that we shouldn't be knee-jerking for the squeaky wheel, because that's not a good strategy.
That's right. I mean, one of the ideas that I'd thrown into the mix was just saying, let's just add an extra $100,000 to our $700,000 a year budget, and presumably that would lift the number of reserves being watered, whether it includes pepper tree or not. We couldn't get an answer today. So at least this motion does ensure that pepper tree does get watered until we come up with a comprehensive review. Councillor Hull, then Councillor Telford. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I've had the benefit of being on the council since the drought, where the state government started to impose this on local government, that we had to save water. We actually cut off water supply to many, many reserves. And the reaction by the community was one of understanding that was water restrictions were on. It was pretty bad times back then. And, in fact, I don't recall anybody contacting me about reserve being shut off the water supply. It's only now, in this latest round that began the beginning of the year, that the first reserve was brought to my attention about being cut off. Now, I saw a list of reserves today in an email, about five or so. Councillor Telfer weighed in with one site. There was the one down your way at Marina, and Councillor Valescu. And my view is that they're the ones that we should be focusing on to define what this motion's all about. Now, Councillor Pryor might not agree with me, but just so we don't lose this motion because of the cost of $110,000, I would actually like to confine our attention to the ones that have been brought to our attention. Why react to something that hasn't been brought to our attention? Now,
there are answers to that, of course. There may be people who are less articulate or have lower expectations.
But if I can't continue this.
Well, it's meant to be an informal discussion. Well, I am, but it's not the time for a big political speech. What we're trying to do is... I'm afraid there's a point of relevance, and I'm trying to get to the point. I understand that Councillor Valescu sought to suspend standing orders so that we could all have an informal discussion and be clear that the motion that's being moved is one which has a consensus. So I thought you'd made your point about that, Councillor Hull.
Looking at this more strategically. You know, I've seen motions be lost because of the cost. People balk at the cost, and that's reasonable. If we can confine it to a strategic point where the ones that we're the eyes and ears of the community, we come back with five reserves that are in question, focus on them, and then work on the policy. Doesn't mean the others will lose out in the long term, but we actually address the ones at hand. It's economical, strategic, and these are usually the more intimate reserves. And that's a point that's been missed tonight. These reserves are not the open plan reserves on a vacant block. These are actually intimate reserves where there's clusters of people in higher densities around them. Or they've got some historical reference as well. And that's what that's the way I would actually define this motion. That's the point that I'm making.
Okay, Councillor Telfer.
Water is a valuable resource and an expensive one. I do want to support the water tool as such because it's extraordinarily important that we have some sort of objective tool. I do believe that we need to work that all through, and so in the short term we need some solutions, and it may be that turning on irrigation on what was suggested 6 reserves that have been turned off this year would be a good idea, and that's quite a different thing from the issue I raised to do with Light Square, which is about its resilience and sustainability and its watering regime. In the end, I guess, we want to keep what we can alive, and it's not a matter of us coming up with irrigation solutions to keep things alive. It's a matter of working through so that the tool works for us.
Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question. My question is, what was the month and year that this reserve was cut off from irrigation?
Mr. Ricketts.
So that would have been the end of the irrigation season last year. So the irrigation season last year was quite long. It started early, finished late. So top of my head, I think it was probably around April, May last year was the last time we irrigated it.
And in simple terms, why was it turned off at that point?
Well, beginning of the season, we tend to run all the sites through the irrigation management tool to see their functional benefit, and we rescore them, and we score them on those sort of criteria that we try to make as objective as possible. Obviously, the scoring brings in an element of subjectivity, and again, this season, we ran all the sites through the tool, and Peppertree didn't qualify under the current assessment process, so it was turned off.
How many were turned off at that time?
I believe 6. From memory, that were irrigated last year weren't irrigated this year. That said, I think we actually irrigated 1 or 2 additional ones that we reassessed. So on balance, it may have been 6 that were irrigated last year were turned off, but 2 new ones were put on, I think, from memory, Mayor.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
So that's 2014, you're saying?
Correct, yeah, last irrigation season, yeah.
When the last irrigation season finished, I would have thought that'd be early 2015.
14-15 season I'm referring to, yes.
Oh, the financial year 14-15.
Sorry, yeah, Matt, yeah.
Okay. The year 2015, I think you'll find, but the financial year 2014-15, Mr. Ricketts is thinking in terms of the budget.
Yeah, sorry. That's correct.
Westwood.
Right, well, at this stage I do think it's a matter of, as I said today earlier, life or death for the plants. And this is urgent at this stage, if we are to preserve some greenery in the parks that have been turned off, well, in 2 months' time it will be too late for this season for sure. So if we want to preserve any kind of green for Christmas, now is the time to start watering. And I'd like to point out that the motion is just to irrigate until we do reach some kind of refinement in irrigation policy, so it's not forever. And as far as $100,000 or so dollars is concerned, the ratepayers have paid good money for us to keep up our services and to be able to use parks for their kids, families, and maybe personally. And we should extend to them the courtesy, basically, of providing them with green grass if we can. Thank you.
Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Your Worship. It's nice for the first time in 5 years to be able to partake in a water discussion, which, since I don't have a conflict of interest anymore.
Look, I acknowledge that there was... I've been playing from the cheap seats out in the other room for the last 5 years, and I've been following the papers very closely, and I know that a lot of really good science went into this tool, and I don't want to detract away from that because it is good, solid science that went into it. There has been an expectation of better service standards in regard to our parks and reserves, which has recently come to the fore. And I look back at the role of government and the role of us, and we are here to provide public amenity. There's not a lot of public amenity that can be provided through a patch of dirt other than, I suppose, a very, very fast cricket wicket. There's not much else you can really do with it in midsummer. I think this motion potentially just buys us time. That's what it's all about, just buying time so that we can go through it in a little bit more detail, in a little bit more of a considered way. If we don't do it tonight, we don't have another council meeting until the end of January, and it's all a moot point anyway.
Well, look, just to sum up, and I'll very shortly be looking for a motion that we resume standing orders, but it seems to me that there's a common ground that we like the irrigation formula. There should be an objective measure and we test everything according to that. We also place a very high value on giving our residents green reserves. And councillors were shocked, not just Councillor Pryor and Councillor Hull in relation to Peppertree Grove, but other councillors have mentioned other reserves in the last week, actually shocked that taps were turned off as a result of the application of the tool. Now, of course, the tool is not the end of it. It depends how much money you put in at the beginning of the process as to how much water comes out at the end of it. Water and maintenance, I might add. So clearly, there's a feeling among councillors that there needs to be a recalibration. More money going towards this so that more reserves are watered and give the community what the community wants and expects. The question tonight is about how to achieve a short-term fix while we wait for a comprehensive review, since this issue has crept up on us. There are different ways we can do it. Councillor Pryor's motion gets it done, but there are other ways of doing it. I think that's where we're at. So would somebody like to move that we resume standing orders so we can actually dispatch this? Councillor Westwood, so moved. Councillor Gard, seconded. All those in favour? All those against? That's carried unanimously. So we're now back in the formal debate. Councillor Valescu, I did say I'd leave the call with you if you wish to take the matter any further.
Worship, I agree with the sentiments raised by Councillor Hull as far as us needing to be strategic on this, but I also agree with what Councillor Ian Crosland said about having some equity. I am concerned, and I think this late in the piece, starting them all up, I think it is wasteful. I think there will be some which we probably won't need to do. I hope that, obviously, I assume that staff will use common sense for some that haven't been switched on for a while and looks like there may be some work involved that we don't do those. I think this sort of stuff needs to be fleshed out a lot sooner, especially if we're going this big. But I do think having that open space is important, and having that irrigated open space is important for people. And I guess we've got the community up in arms a little bit in various sections about their area. And I guess once we have the irrigation plan, it's an opportunity for us to actually try to give some of that ownership back to the community. Like, you know, if they see it as their space, can we get them more involved to actually look at what they contribute to that space as well and want to contribute? So, you know, don't get them out doing our lawn mowing for us and things like that, but, you know, maybe there can be some of that involvement. And I think that's actually an opportunity. So I'm reluctant to. I was happy to support, you know, 6, 7, 8 reserves or lifting it up, including Peppertree and a few of the others, and obviously one in my ward, which has been brought to my attention. But I really didn't want to have everyone and all of them, because the thing is, we're going to water for a little while and we are going to disappoint people. and that's going to be a problem, because we're going to turn some on for a little while and then we're going to turn them off. We may get those people come back in. It's a hard one, but I guess if we're going to be fair, we'll turn on the ones we can and take it from there. But I guess in future members, if we're going to do things like that, let's try to get some of these figures, because on another motion, you know, things like this could be lost and it would be a real shame.
Yeah, I accept what Councillor Valescu has said, but I think you've got to remember that, yes, you might have six reserves. I could have added on four or five onto that list, and I'm sure everyone around this room, if they'd have gone round, they would have found more. And I still think there's an importance that, yeah, we've got people who've lost six reserves this year, but that doesn't mean that the people that lost six or seven or ten reserves last year but didn't jump up and down aren't any more worthy recipients. And also to put it into perspective is, yeah, we might spend $1 million a year on water and providing green open spaces for our residents, but have a look at the other services that we provide that most of our residents don't use, and look at the cost of those services. And $1 million is quite small compared with most of those services, and yet we still provide them.
Certainly, Councillor Crossland touched on a very pertinent fact. We do spend a lot of money on libraries. Not all of our community use libraries, and I know libraries are sacred, but it puts $1 million in perspective. I think that the way forward with this motion is to water these reserves, obviously. I don't think there's much else on it. We haven't really talked about the cost of revegetating a reserve. I think that if we look at $100,000 to try and save a couple here, that probably pays us back a dozen times if we want to revegetate all the reserves, as we'll find out. When we obviously look at the open space plan and try to put some more water-sensitive design into our open space plan. So with that, I'm very keen to see how we're going to go.
Those of you who just applauded, you may wish to stay, but feel free to go. We'll press on with the meeting. Thanks for coming along and being part of democracy. There being no petitions, committee recommendations or presentations, I turn to an adjourned item, the Section 270 review concerning the closure of the wet areas at Marion Leisure and Fitness. Now, this is one where we are resuming debate, and I'll ask Ms. McKenzie just to remind us who moved and seconded and spoke, because we are literally in the middle of debate as we resume.
Through the Chair, we currently do not have a mover or a seconder. Those councillors that have already asked questions are Mayor Hannah, Councillor Crosland, Councillor Appleby, Councillor Valescu, Councillor Hull and Councillor Telfer.
So it's still an open slate. I note that Councillor Appleby, who raised the waiver idea, unfortunately isn't here. So in the spirit of what he had put forward, I just want to put forward another option for consideration, depending on what councillors think of the information that's come to light in the last couple of weeks. You could do something like direct the YMCA to operate the wet area in accordance with the lease after obtaining appropriate waivers from spa users, or in any event by a certain date such as 31st of January. Yes, Councillor Hull.
Did I read somewhere that there's an inherent waiver in the membership for the YMCA down there?
Yes, Councillor Hull, but I'll ask staff to elaborate on that. There's an indemnity in the membership. There's also public liability insurance held by the YMCA to operate the place.
So what's the problem? In terms of the Appleby solution?
The problem arose because the YMCA handballed the problem to us. Well, perhaps I'd better refer to Ms Dixon at that point.
Through the chair, just to recap, when the Y became aware that we were operating what they viewed, or operating the spa not in line with the guidelines, they brought that to council's staff's attention. In terms of the management agreement that we have with the YMCA, it's a joint budgeting project, so they brought it to our attention because it would, what they were recommending, which put to have lifeguards there in line with the guidelines that they are advising we should follow, that would come at a cost. And that would come at a cost to the budget. And in the management agreement, we wear any deficit or surplus from that.
The question that I asked last time, I'll ask it again. The State Aquatic Centre, run by the YMCA, do they have spa baths, and do they have lifeguards stationed at those spa baths, regardless of whether they're elite swimmers or divers or not?
And Ms Dixon?
Through the chair, so we actually met with the manager of the State Aquatic Centre, I think a week after council last considered this matter. There are spa facilities in closed off areas that are used, so under a private, so they're not a public accessible spa. I'm not aware of whether a lifeguard is in there at that time. And then, as we discussed at the last council meeting, there is the open jet pools, which is in the public part of the centre, and that would have lifeguards in there as part of how they supervise their pool, public pool.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think we did establish there's no lifeguards in those private spa areas.
I think that's right. Ms Dixon? Do you add anything?
Yeah, it's not a public spa, so it's for they're using it privately. Yep.
Neither is the spa we're talking about. If you're not a member, it's not public.
Yes, I do use that facility, and certainly all users are checked on. I think it's every 20 minutes to ensure their well-being. Although I think 20 minutes is a long time if you happen to expire soon after the check. But there is no lifeguard per se in the actual enclosed spa and sauna situation. Oh, sorry, it's a sauna, and then there is a steam room as well. So those two are not governed by lifeguards. And am I able to make a further comment in that regard?
Well, I'm taking it in the context that you're answering questions which have raised. So with some liberty, yes, go ahead.
Yep. Just in reading this whole paper, I did pick up on a comment made by the complainant that the small dive pool is really not required by members as he judges it.
Sorry, the plunge pool.
Plunge pool is not required. Leaving the other two facilities, saunas, spas, and it occurred to me that there is a different implication with those sorts of facilities compared with a plunge pool as far as safety goes. And it also occurs to me that it might be possible to employ people, I think, as the Aquatic Centre does, to just check on cycle users of those remaining two facilities. We're talking about three facilities used by 2% of the membership, and so we're now saying two facilities, excluding the plunge pool, to be checked by perhaps an existing staff member that could be trained. Well, so these sorts of things I thought do come into discussion, because it's not, again, sure, all or nothing.
Councillor Gard, I mean, maybe there were some matters to save for the debate there. Really, this is a question time to sort out which motion are we going to move in relation to this. Councillor Crossland, did you have a question?
Yes, please. It's a question for staff. Under the management agreement, does the YMCA have to run that spa? Is that an obligation that we've placed on them, or can they, as a business decision, irrespective of this lifeguard scenario, close that spa without any sanction from us?
Ms. Dixon?
Through the chair, there's no provision specifically about the spa running or not, but in, I suppose, the spirit of how the management agreement is working, where there's decisions that have a budgetary constraint, so the YMCA have been clear, their professional advice is if the spa is to remain open, that there should be a lifeguard in there. So they operate their facilities with the guidelines. So they brought that to our attention around the cost as well. So that's when it became a decision, a joint decision, because it would come at a cost to council if that spa continues to be open with a lifeguard.
If I could add to that, Councillor Crossland, the agreement or contract is a very simple one, and it doesn't specifically refer to different aspects of the gym operation. It essentially says you operate the gym and we'll pay you according to this formula, etc. So there is an implication, though, that the operations which the YMCA commenced to manage would continue, because that in its entirety is the gym operation. So there's probably a fair argument that it's implicit that the wet areas would continue to be operated, but that's why they're, in a sense, that's why they've come to us, because they knew they might be in trouble if they simply unilaterally stopped operating parts of the operation. Councillor Valesky, did you have a question?
Are we able to use the waiver, but also before we proceed, double check that we'll be covered under the local government mutual liability scheme, because the readings indicate that it would no longer fall on the insurance of the YMCA if the unlikely were to happen?
Well, perhaps typically the legal advice is contained in the report. You can see it there. Waivers may offer some contractual protection, but they won't protect people from injury. Well, obviously bits of paper don't protect people from injury. And it goes on to say that such measures can provide some financial indemnity. Well, that's the whole point of them, by the way. But it doesn't protect the council from the common post-incident investigation and review by authorities. Well, that's a different matter, isn't it? That's your Section 270 review, that's your Ombudsman review, etc. So we're not talking about avoiding those reviews. A waiver won't do that. But a waiver can stop someone suing for personal injury. That's really the heart of the matter. Ms. Dixon, did you want to add to that? Councillor Telfer?
Just some discussions prior to the meeting. I just wanted clarity. I could have misunderstood. I just wanted to know that if the LG mutual liability scheme were to say we're not covering you on this, is there the potential for someone to sue us? And would we have to pay? That's what I wanted to clarify.
Right. Ms. Dixon? Ms. McKenzie?
Through the chair, in the event that there was an injury in the spa, and after the council makes its decision, regardless of what it is, we notify the scheme and the scheme turns around and says that is not a risk that you are insured for, council would therefore have an uninsured risk. So which would mean that if there was a liability created from the spa, or if someone sustained an injury and sought damages from council at common law, you would potentially be in a position where you were uninsured unless we sought a commercial insurance from a commercial underwriter.
But Councillor Valescu, the whole answer to your question is on pages 52-53 of the agenda. That's the advice from Warman's lawyers. And I commented on a section of it earlier. Councillor Telfer and then Councillor Hutchinson. Councillor Telfer?
I'll withdraw my question.
Yeah, Councillor Hutchinson?
Yeah, my question is to the staff. What would the saving be if the spa ceases to operate to council? What's the saving, direct saving to council?
Ms. Abbey? Ms. Dixon? Sorry.
Through the chair. So the cost of the, just the operating cost of the spa is for a year, $18,800 with the 5.5 months to go, that'd be $8,600.
That is council saving or the us as a party?
Through the chair. So that's a saving in the budget. That the budget is what happens with the management agreement is there's the operating budget, the payment of the management fee. The bottom line, if there's a surplus, that comes to council. If there's a deficit, that's formed by council.
Any other questions? Sooner or later, someone's going to have to move a motion. Councillor Crossland, I think, was just first.
Sorry, just to clarify that, so it's $18,000 to run the spa, and what are the what are the current fees, income fees for users of the spa annually? How much does that add up to?
As I understand, they don't pay extra for the spa. They're members of the gym, and then they can use the spa. There could be 500 or there could be two people, as long as they're members.
And through the chair, can I just... Also, for clarity, that $8,600 is for the operating expenses of the spa, plunge, pool, and the sauna as well. So I haven't got them separated.
Okay, Councillor Valesco.
Number five. I guess are we going to articulate whether we want the YMCA to provide a lifeguard or not? I don't know if that's needed. As traditionally run, perhaps. I don't know. I just want a bit of advice on that, and I'm going to add another bit at the end too. So, yes.
You can throw in without a lifeguard if you like.
Yep. Answer me.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair. So if a lifeguard was to be operating in there, the cost would be for the next 5.5 months, $39,815. That's with the current opening hours for the spa. So that would come back into the budget. Currently, those funds they were never in the projected budget.
I'll just put operate the spa area as has been operated in the past without a lifeguard in accordance with the lease, provided users sign a waiver and council is able to obtain insurance either through the LGA or a private insurer. Because I don't think the waiver's going to be worth much. And the issue is also that if something were to happen, we could get the YMCA contacting us and saying, we told you so, and you've ruined our reputation, we're a national organisation. That's why I think we need to have insurance, but let's see how we can get it. I don't think we need a lifeguard, but I don't know.
Councillor Valescu, when you say and insurance is obtained, do you mean by council or by the YMCA?
It would be us. It would be us.
And when you say, I mean, obviously we already do have insurance, but do you mean
approval
insurance
of the
is
board.
Available? Or
I think insurance is insurance will cover this.
Yeah.
In the unlikely
and insurance is available to cover this activity.
Yes. Yeah. And that means whether the LGA like mutual liability scheme, or if that's not something they're willing to cover, another commercial provider. Although I don't see why they wouldn't, but I think we need to be covered. Either way, that's the responsible thing, because it's council, it's ratepayers' money that's backing this up.
Now, is that motion seconded?
Guess not.
Ms. McKenzie would just like to ask a question to clarify.
So, through the Chair, Councillor Valescu, we're just querying whether it should be subject to insurance availability or
yeah,
is it
subject.
And?
No, subject to insurance availability, and perhaps if there is a commercial provider, that would have to come back to Council because there will be a cost involved.
Is that motion seconded? Councillor Gard seconded. Councillor Valescu, did you wish to speak further?
Look, as I said previously, I think this, it appears it may be an inefficient operation that the YMCA perhaps may not want to run anymore, but that's what it could appear to be. But this is a very important facility, especially for our older residents. And just the impact that it has on their general well-being, it was working fine. The risk has been brought to our attention. We do have to act. We can't be uninsured on it. It's other people's money, so we have to tread carefully. But if we're able to do this and get the insurance, then I think we should proceed. There's no other facilities about the place. And as far as the lifeguard goes, it might be cheaper for us to bus people to another facility where there is a lifeguard than actually employ the lifeguard ourselves, seriously. So let's do what we can to make it happen, but let's do it in a responsible way where we cover ourselves. Thank you, members.
Councillor Gard.
Yes, I think it is a worthy motion. It does seem to appease all parties. And I think the process of investigating for insurance cover will probably unleash the issues of what should be in place as far as lifeguard is concerned. For example, the aquatic centre facilities are adjacent. They're enclosed, but they're also adjacent to a very large shallow swimming pool used by disabled people, also children and very elderly. So there is a lifeguard in the general area. I think this is something we've got to sharpen up on as far as definition and requirement is concerned. And I think that the insurance need governed by this motion would help us to do that. So I do suggest that we follow that part.
Councillor Hull.
With our situation with this, with the Norwood Pearl with the diving board only yesterday, we get to a position where I think I heard Mayor Hannah say, do we actually ban all physical activity in our communities? And surely not. Mayor Hannah said that tongue in cheek, of course. But this is where we're at. I'd like to ask a question, though. If we did have this insurance, would it actually cover us from some material handling issues that's been brought to our attention by residents at the site in terms of chemicals and the like, if there was some misadventure there as well? So would that insurance cover protect the council in the event of somebody being burnt by chemicals in the water?
I'm sure staff will take that on notice because no one's even inquired about this yet.
Yeah. So there's more to it than the fact that somebody might topple over and hit their head and succumb. There are other issues. But look, the irony is this tub has been operating for 20 years without incident. But look, Murphy's Law would prevail if we don't do the right thing tonight. I guess I can assume, Mr. Scull, that along with this, all the other package, the other suite of measures would be applied, the appropriate signage and all that, that would be part and parcel to good management. So can we actually do a follow-up and make sure that that's all done?
Mr. Scull?
Not just rely on our contractor.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, of course.
Councillor Hutchinson.
I've got a question. What is the annual membership for the gym at the moment, first of all?
Numbers or dollars?
Dollars. Per person's fine. It's not on their website.
So, through the Chair, now this is the projected budget, so I'm not sure, Councillor Hutchins, if this is what you're looking for. I've got the annual projected income for membership for 15-16. Is that on the line of what you're looking for?
Councillor Hutchinson was after individual membership fee for a year.
Okay. I think there would be a range of different fees. I can take that on notice and circulate that to elective members. In terms of membership, it's around the 700 members. Yep.
Look, a little bit out of order here, totally out of order, but I'm going to call on Mr. Houston in the gallery. How much are you paying for membership, sir? Any other questions, or we'll put it to a vote? All right. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Right. We move on to the next item of business. I'm sure the staff will be calling the insurers tomorrow with that one. On page 61 of the agenda, the dog bylaw amendment, looking at Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I thought I was going to get a more innovative response than this, but I'm happy to move it as it is, and we'll play it out in a few more months.
Is that seconded? Councillor Pryor. Councillor Hutchinson, did you need to say any more? We have dealt with the issue before, of course, in Council. Councillor Pryor, anything further? Anyone opposing the motion? Then I'll... Councillor Pfeiffer, do you wish to speak? Then I'll put it to a vote. I really admire everyone's succinctness on this one. Raise your hand if you agree. And put your hand up if you disagree. That's carried by majority. Thank you. And so we go to the Glade Crescent Wetlands issue on page 63 of the agenda. I understand there was some discussion with staff about slightly amended wording in the recommendations. Councillor Crossland, to move.
Yes, I'd like to move the motion as written, but with an amended point 5, please.
Thank you. And the staff have that to show us? Thank you. I'll just ask, is there a seconder to the motion? Councillor Gard, come back to you. Councillor Crossland, please go ahead.
Okay, most of the information is in the report, so I don't propose to regurgitate that. Just the main points to know from the recommendations as they are is that the Stage 1 project, as stated, has two phases. The first phase of the works has an allocation already of $520,000. That's already allocated to the Glade Crescent Reserve project in our budget. We have recently been successful in obtaining $200,000 from the NRMB, or A, whatever they're called now, sorry, which provides sufficient funding to complete Phase 1. You'll also know that the amendment to point 5 basically puts a hold on Phase 2
pending on the budget allocation for the 16-17 financial year, and also dependent on the application to the Stormwater Management Authority. I think that's a good way of budgeting this item, and also gives us an opportunity to have a look at the budget, where we are at that point, and reconsider continuing with phase two, but also gives us more opportunity to obtain funding from the SMA. An additional item as well on there doesn't make it clear on the report. This particular wetland is the top of Hallett Cove. A couple of years ago, due to stormwater flooding, considerable damage was caused near the coastline. If we can complete stage one, my understanding is that will actually have a preventative function and will prevent further stormwater damage in future years. So it is actually a preventative measure as well as providing a wetland in that area. Thank you.
Yes, I follow suit with everything that Councillor Crossland has said. I think this is a fabulous project for everybody in the community, including those that might visit from outside the ward, and it certainly has its very practical value in terms of stormwater. And something that hasn't been mentioned for a while, the coastal protection, which hasn't come into this calculation, but nonetheless, we have been informed by Mr. Ricketts that it has the potential and has been in the past an issue in terms of the damage that can be done at the point where efflux occurs from that area of the coast. So I highly commend the motion.
Is there anyone opposing the motion? Councillor, a question from Councillor Hull. I'd ask staff for advice. Mr. Ricketts is coming forward. Thank you.
Yes, there is a partly over a few. As we move down today, presently build two more wetlands. The third wetland, when we finally improve water quality, etc., when we use it, where we look to capture some water for maybe for propeller, maybe for large grass schools, depending on the cost benefit analysis that we do at that time. But yes, when we revisited the scheme, we did look at harvesting opportunities.
Councillor Hull, happy there? Good point. Yes, thank you, Mr. Ricketts. Any other questions? If not, I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you, members. On page 69 of the report, the Oaklands Estate Reserve toilet block, and remember, there are teenagers present. Councillor Hull.
Adelaide, but we've got a solution here that these modern toilets are less conducive for that sort of activity, and it's long overdue for this toilet block to be brought up to a modern standard. This has been a unsatisfactory toilet block in terms of amenity for a long time. It's obviously maybe the start of resolving the problem. Something tells me that the capacity might not be there, but we'll only know when we actually trial it, because this is a high-use regional reserve. Mr. Mayor, this is one of the jewels in the crown of the council, this reserve, and it's used by residents near and far from neighbouring councils from being Mitcham and West Torrens, Holfast Bay would frequent this reserve, and it really deserves appropriate amenity. But without going into detail, the issues we've had there are is another element to this that needs to be addressed. Our citizens should be able to go to the toilet in our reserves without being confronted and being concerned about their welfare, and that is a big issue. We may well have a toilet block there, but is it being used? Are people actually holding on and going home because of their concerns about the amenity? So, look, we've got a solution here. I'd like to add point three, though, Mr. Mayor, that the council compiles a report to be brought back to council by June 2016 in regards to the other similar type toilet blocks. Just for our advice.
And you're referring to the older style toilet blocks in other council reserves?
Yes, the Besser block style toilet blocks. So, you know, I hate to think for 1 minute that I'm sort of focusing on my own patch. I am aware that there are other toilet blocks, and it's high time we realise that there are other toilet blocks to deal with as well.
Councillor Hull, while you're extending that motion, would you consider putting the word being after the word skate park at the end of clause 2?
Clause 2 being...
no longer required.
Already. Yeah, okay.
We haven't had it seconded yet, but...
I think the staff tried to add an authentic touch to it with my grammar, Mr. Mayor.
So you're happy with that motion? You've spoken to it. Seconded? Councillor Pryor. I'll come back to you, Councillor Valesky. Councillor Pryor, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I do endorse this motion, and I know that we had discussions with the staff about the usage of the toilets and the usage of the toilets, particularly the ones to be retasked. I've understood now that perhaps that's not ideal, but I think we'll get a question from Councillor Velasco about that. But with the lack of a better option, I think this is the option we should go with.
Thank you. Councillor Velasco.
Why are we removing a toilet from one of the busier places? We've got at Hendry Street, we've got usage of 10,700 almost, and just under 6,000 for those two. And we're going to remove one of those toilets, which at a site where the usage of one is already the second highest in all the city. I don't see, my concern is, when's that going to happen? Because I wouldn't want that to, it looks like it hasn't been thought out, because we don't know when the other ones will come on board.
Through the chair, yes, the usage at Hendry Street is quite high, those toilets, but with the Touched by Olivia Foundation project, we're looking to put a new toilet in at the play space in an alternative location, which we feel that there'll be usage over more so over near the play space, with potentially one toilet remaining at that particular site. So there'd probably be a 12 to 18 month gap, but we do feel that through that time that one toilet would be sufficient in that space.
It's with you, Councillor Blesko.
I want to seek a relief amendment that the Hendry Street one be done within 6 months of the other one being replaced. I don't think 18 months is good enough. Sorry. It is a high use area, and I want it closed. I'd prefer it if he has a more palatable time frame. We can't send them off to the skate park. It's a little bit far.
Through the chair, just to clarify on the usage of those toilets, there's one of those toilets at Hendry Reserve is looks like it is more popular from a particular access point. So there's about 10,000 usage in one toilet, and it's down to the 5 to 6,000 in the other. So the proposal would be to leave the one that is the most frequently used one, and relocate the less patronaged facility.
Yeah, but they're next to each other, aren't they?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so people just maybe go to the one on the right, but they're still going to that vicinity to take care of their needs. We've got evidence here that this is the demand, is about 16,000, 17,000 visits. No other site, no other one toilet has that many visits. I don't think it's responsible for us to remove that facility and have it there gone for 12 to 18 months based on a reaction to some antisocial and unacceptable behaviour, but that's been happening for a longer time. So, you know, let's deal with that, but don't let the other people suffer that are using that facility.
So, Councillor Valescu, we're just looking at wording to put into effect your intention. So your intention is to have the relocation of one of the XLUs at Hendry Reserve done less than 6 months before the replacement toilet goes there. It's quite tricky to word that. No, just a sec. Come back to you, Councillor Hull. Yeah, okay, I think that has... Have a look, Councillor Valescu, to see that you're happy with that. All right, so the amendment is moved. I'm conscious that it needs to be seconded. Is that a quick clarification, Councillor Hull?
In terms of the use of that toilet that Councillor Valescu alludes to... How many of the visitors would be taxi drivers and driving instructors, and could they actually drive to the most closest toilet after that? Have you got any assessment on that? Because it doesn't seem to be any other audience.
All right, let's just hold that. First of all, we'll get an answer from staff for you, but is the amendment seconded? Councillor Westwood is seconded. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Westwood? Very well. We immediately, even though Councillor Appleby is not present, we immediately vote on the amendment. All those in favour, raise your hand. On the amendment. All those against the amendment. The amendment is carried by majority, so the motion as amended remains open for debate for those who haven't yet spoken. Councillor Crossland.
Just a couple of questions for staff, if I may. First of all, how many usages on a toilet would have to occur before you considered putting two toilets where there are currently one? I understand that we've already got some toilets with 14,000 people using it.
Ms. Quadden, could you answer that, and also Councillor Hull's query? And all this discussion going on.
Through the chair, in response to Councillor Crossland's question, I would say I'd say 7,500 is a good figure for per annum for the usage of the toilet based on the statistics that we've got on use for the year. We only have the two toilet facilities, the dual toilet facilities at three sites, being Hazelmere Reserve, which is the next closest facility outside of Oakland's Recreation Plaza, which could be an alternative location for those users of Hendry Street to go to. Either the Oakland's Recreation Plaza is quite close by, or Hazelmere Reserve.
There is a percentage, a significant percentage of those users that are itinerant people that could actually move in their cars to another location.
Happy to take that question, but I think Councillor Crossland have more to contribute.
I do have another question, but I believe the Mayor was right in saying that Councillor Hull's
question was asked first. Councillor Crossland, there's a point of order. I've just come into the debate. I believe the question was from Councillor Crossland. That's why you gave some useful advice, Councillor Hull, but I'd like to give you an opportunity after Councillor Crossland has finished. Well, I'm going to say I don't, and if you wish to pursue that into the future, seeing as you also supported my amendment, thank you very much, Councillor, I'll proceed with the meeting. Councillor Crossland. Oh, I see there's no point. There's no conflict of interest.
Thank you. The other point of the question I had was, I note the amendment of the 6 months. Now, it's from my point of view, I'd like to see this development happen very quickly. The additional amendment to this motion, how is that going to affect the actual speed of delivering these new toilets?
Thank you, Councillor Crossland. Before we go on, I do have a clarification as to what I can and can't do. Thank you, Ms. McKenzie.
Through the Chair, yes, Councillor Valescu did move the amendment, but he did so before he resumed in the position of presiding over the meeting. At the time that the vote is taken, if he's still in the Chair, then he will not be able to vote on the motion.
Thank you. And Councillor Crossland's question is about timeframes. Would you like Councillor Crossland to repeat that, or is that okay? Thank you.
So if what has been amended is trying to reduce the gap in terms of the provision of the lack of provision of toilets at Hendry Street Reserve, we could either delay the relocation and demolishing of the toilets if possible, or we could relocate the one toilet from Pavana Reserve and do a secondary relocation at a closer point in time to Hendry Street.
For the moment, it's not clear what's going to happen. It's pretty open-ended, so we could end up with quite a lengthy delay before anything happens.
Is it possible with that motion?
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Gladderman. Councillor Hull, did you? I'm giving you liberty to ask another question, or was that your question? Otherwise, I'll let Councillor Pryor ask a question.
I've already dispatched the question, Mr. Okay. Acting Mayor. Right. I just want an answer.
You. Okay, we did get an answer before. The answer was
I don't think I did.
Point of order. If Councillor Hull disagrees.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, Councillor Pryor. Councillor Pryor has the floor. Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Scull.
Okay. I have no mic.
Okay.
I'll shout. The folks on the next cell loop.
we would have, I'm presuming here that we would have to find that those funds to actually put the extra toilet into Hendley. I think I'm correct on that.
With respect, your question was whether I've got a conflict of interest. No, that wasn't it? Okay.
Through the chair, could you please repeat that question?
The toilet block that Councillor Valescu is concerned about, there doesn't seem to be a natural audience there on site.
Mm-hmm.
My view is, knowing my former ward, that there's a high use from taxi drivers, driving instructors and the like at that reserve. It's a convenient stop. Would that be a reasonable assumption, and can they actually reasonably, in their vehicles, which they have, go to another nearby toilet?
Yeah, through the chair, we don't have any statistics to support that, but there certainly is some hearsay that there's a lot of taxi drivers that use that. We also feel that the toilets would be used by school groups on the way in and out of the swimming centre before going into the swimming centre, but yes, we do understand through hearsay that there are a lot of taxi drivers that do use those toilets.
Yeah, thank you.
Into the debate before the motion is put in its current form. Does anyone wish to clarify whether Pandana gets done first and Hendry's done later on? Is there anything that people want to do there? Yes, I've got a further comment from Ms. Clutterman.
In addition to the two options spoken about before in terms of the delay with one toilet, there is an alternative option within the report being option three, where the toilet block is demolished. One toilet is relocated from Pavana, and there is a purchase of a new toilet block, which could still be done within the budget available.
A supplementary question, Mr. Deputy Mayor. In terms of the connections for the new toilet at Oaklands Estate, will there be the appropriate coupling for additional toilets to be easily coupled into the infrastructure that's going in, as discussed on site?
Yes, there will be the provision of those to be joint together in terms of coupled, yes.
For additional toilets apart from the two?
Yes, there will be.
Thank you, Your Worship. My question to staff is, how was Pavana chosen? Can we have that on the record, please?
Yep. Through the chair, Pavana was chosen through the low usage statistics of the two toilets on site.
The other question, or did you wish to contribute to the debate?
Yeah, sorry, I'd like to speak against the motion. The motion as it stands, I preferred the earlier motion. I don't think that it's acceptable to delay this project for maybe 12 months just so that we can organise a new toilet for Hendry Reserve. By moving just one toilet to Oaklands Reserve, you're effectively doing the same thing in that you will have one toilet at Oaklands Reserve with no known use, and that could be, there could be too many people wanting to use just one singular toilet. So on that basis, I would like the development to continue without delay, as proposed originally by Councillor Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Look, the timing is really important in this, and that's the piece we're missing. It's a question. I'm framing it as a question. I'm going to get there eventually, I hope. The timing is really important. We would really like some clarity on the timing of all these events. Can someone provide that, please?
Like to clarify through the chair that if the project does need the timing of being not relocated within or to allow for that 6 months, then the project in its entirety in terms of relocating the two toilets could be delayed for up to 12 months.
Thank you, Worship. I'm going to move an amendment that we move option 3. And the reason for this, members, is because I don't believe we have enough statistics on the Oaklands Reserve to make an informed decision about future use. I think we need to try one loo there, being Pivana, temporarily, and see how that goes. I'm not even convinced that the location's even correct for this facility. We currently have a skate park and plaza at the front of the reserve, and I'm not sure how many of those users actually wander down to the back of the reserve to use our facilities. So I'll move that way, Your Worship.
Through the chair, can we clarify, did you say option 2 or option 3?
Option
3. Option
3. Sorry, option 2.
Thank you.
Demolish the toilet block and relocate one existing exaloo. I believe it's a variation, Your Worship.
I don't believe it is in contradiction, because the same objective is still being sought with this amendment. It's just that it's one instead of two. So it's a matter of degree rather than opposition.
Mayor, if I may, we're going from two ladies' toilets, one male toilet and a urinal, down to one. That's seriously at odds with
Well, I've made my ruling, unless you want to object to it. So the amendment being in order, I believe it's up to Councillor Telfer to speak in seconding the motion to amend.
In seconding the motion to amend, I see value in this. We can move forward, not constrained by time, to get an Exaloo block where we toilet where we need it. We can do more work on statistics and usability, given one toilet being put there. We have new constraints coming with the Olivia Playground shifting to up the road. The usage of the current playground at Oaklands might change, which changes the use of groups coming there for events, which often happens. People can't park in that car park and family events happen nearby to that current toilet. So I see merit in moving forward, getting this done quickly and having the one toilet workable, and then we can work again to solve the whole picture when the Touch by Olivia playground is in place.
Yeah, just in point one, the TBD existing one to be Pavana.
Now,
it's probably worth, with Councillor Telfer's approval, another point there that we actually receive some statistics on that single loo's usage after it's installed.
I'm rather than seeking leave and getting into a messy situation, that can be just done through questions to staff between meetings. So I will, if you're happy with that wording, could I ask staff, if that amendment was passed as it is, what would be the timeline for the relocation? Ms. Quadra?
Through the chair, depending on the availability of the contractor, we could do that by March next year.
Just a question, why would it take 3 months, 3 or 4 months to do it?
Through the chair, we need to arrange for development consent for demolition of the existing toilet, demolition of the existing brick building, and contract arrangements for the contractor, the only available contractor to relocate the Exaloos, and also get SA Water connections and electrical connections as well. So most of the time frames are around other people's contractors and service utility companies' availability and time frames.
I appreciate that thorough answer. Thank you. So I'll put the amendment to a vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried by majority. Those that we have a motion amended now, and those who haven't yet spoken to either the motion or amendment may speak further if they wish to oppose. Councillor Westwood?
I just have a question, actually. I'm sorry if I've missed it.
Yes.
What's the cost of a new Exaloo compared to moving the another one?
Ms. Cladaham?
The cost of a new Exaloo is around $170,000 to $180,000, as opposed to relocating one, we've estimated at $76,500.
I'd suggest we buy a new
one. I suggest we start manufacturing Exaloos at Tonsley.
Any other speakers? Well then, it's up to Councillor Hull to reply to any matters raised.
Well, Mr. Mayor, it's been a convoluted exercise. This happens sometimes. Look, at the end of all this, I think my motion is the best one after sieving it through. I didn't realise with the Bolescu amendment that it was going to take so long. I don't think a lot of us did until it was filtered through a bit. I'm not happy going from one going down to one toilet. We've actually we've got two ladies' toilets there now. We've got a urinal and a men's cubicle. So it's a hard one to sell. It's going to be a hard one to sell to the local community down there, particularly the Oaklands Estate Residents Association. I'm bracing myself to hear from them. It's a fine predicament you've placed the Warrikowie ward councillors in. A regional reserve, we've got one toilet, think about it. A high-use reserve. It's a shame that we have to squabble about this when really we're talking about the basic of community needs. It's a shame that it is expensive, as it is, as we all agree, that it is expensive for these things. I agree with Councillor Westwood that rather than paying $76,000 to move one, we might as well pay $180,000 and get a brand new one. If only we can come to grips with that one. But look, at the end of the night, I'm closing a debate in a defeated state. I think that it's a very unusual position, actually, to be closing a debate knowing that the case is not going to go my way. I put to you my original motion, but that's not what we're voting on right now. It is a really unusual position. I don't think I've ever known this to happen before, where the person closing debate knows that it's a dead dog.
Well, it's a different dog, maybe not a dead one. I'll put the motion as amended. Those in favour, raise your hand. Those against? That's carried by a majority. Thank you, members.